listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Mr. Pop.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
Are back. It is hour two, Red Pill Politics. It is Saturday evening, June 12th. Yep, my youngest boy got a birthday coming up on the 18th. Cannot believe. I every time his birthday comes around, either one of my kids, man, and my youngest is 28. Maybe I'm just going to that empty nest syndrome or something, but it, you know, their birthdays come around. I can still picture them in the palm of my hand. I can still remember walking around the house with, you know, literally holding the back of his head in my hand and his body on my arm and trying to multitask. the time flies. The time really, truly does fly. We have very few precious years to shape these young, impressionable minds and prepare them for the rest of their life, to equip and tool them with the intellectual tools and the reasoning and discernment, right? Discernment, that's a word we don't use as much as we should, let alone understand what it means. In many cases, young people probably have no idea, never even heard the word. But yeah, discernment. Maybe that'll be the word for the day. Discernment. Being wise enough to know right from wrong. Some people just do evil because they're evil people. Some people do foolish things just because they don't seem to be able to get it right. Their discernment is way off. Their judgment and trust is misjudgment and mistrust. Obviously, those that are guiding and influencing them have failed. But yeah, so few years we have with our kids. And we got parents now, the modern parent out there, doesn't even really look at a school as if it's providing a profound service to their children intellectually in preparing them for the rest of their life. But they view these re-education camps as babysitters, a place to dump the kids for 6-7 hours. And that's a shame. Yeah. But those parents were kids at one point. We're a couple of generations into this where we've been cutting the ties of closeness with the family. And of course, when those tethers are cut, without doubt, without exception, begins eating away at the fabric of the community. I never did like the way Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. She says that as a globalist fanatic. But in a real community setting, the morals and ethics of one family, often when things kind of level out and equilibrate, they kind of seem to be shared values with many of the people in the community. All right. You wouldn't let your kid throw a brick through a store window, and you probably wouldn't let someone else's kid throw a brick through a store window. So in that sense, we kind of all look out for each other's cubs, I guess, is the way it should be. But we don't. When they get home from the re-education camps, the streets or the television raise our children. So we've got the society we deserve. As far as government, maybe we have got the government we deserve. I don't know, what type of a government would you say an apathetic, entertainment-based society would deserve? Would it be unlike what we have right now? I don't think so. Is all of the changes going to have to be in government to make things right? No, I think we've got to do some changing too. This is where sometimes my words fall on people's ears, and get a little sting to it. Because I do think that with liberty comes responsibility. I think that's precisely what's missing in the young generation. They want all these liberties and freedoms and rights, but they don't want to be accountable for anything. They want to be trusted and you know, what have you done that's trustworthy? You feel entitled to have something. Well, what have you done and contributed, you know, worthy of you having that thing? I had to work for my first 10 speed. No one gave it to me. I mowed lawn. I picked rocks in the garden. I did whatever the heck I could to get the money I needed. And when I did get that secondhand bicycle, I took really good care of it. Kids today want a new bike the next year because they don't like the color of their old one. Or they left it out on the sidewalk and it got stolen. And they're entitled to one. Someone stole it. Get me a new one. I don't know. Some more good news that came out of our event today is one of the people that I was networking with and trying to pull together. I alluded to it, I think, last week, as we were aiming to develop a parental rights and homeschool summit. And as I put out feelers to different professionals in the area, homeschool, legal associations, parental rights organizations, all of the local homeschool co-ops that I could involve, I was getting a lot of green lights. And today, I was able to nail down an exact date and a venue. And, you know, this is something that I would love to see not only just catch fire and burn across the state here in a very profound way that will make, will get the government's attention is when reports start coming in that we're approaching half of the students are unenrolling from school. But it was actually the pastor that did our opening prayer today. He owns a church in Worcester. And during this lockdown, Worcester got pretty aggressive. And they started treating this pastor pretty poorly. Threatening letters started, tickets. Eventually, he was arrested. And he fought it tooth and nail and said that he took his instructions from God, not government, basically, on these things, and was not going to turn his back on the people in his church, period. And he didn't. Now here, when we heard that they were going to try to arrest him again, and they were holding service, there was a groundswell of support around that church to make sure that every one of the churchgoers got in safely and that nobody bothered them. The cops were buzzing like bees around a stoned nest, you know, a block away, but they didn't dare come in and mess with this guy. He ultimately won in court, too. And this is just what we need, especially in a faith-based community, which, in my observations, become a bunch of limp noodles. They cower. Oh, when the IRS sends them that annual letter telling them not what to preach, but saying specifically these things could cause you trouble with your status with the IRS and your 501c3. So that has a very wedding effect on the faith-based community these days. Well, not this guy, though. That's it. That's why what I liked about him, why he was asked to kick us off. Well, we're going to be having our summit right at his church there, right in the middle of the state. And I think this is going to... I hope there's enough room. It's the interest when I just put out... I just floated out, you know, planted a few seeds with a couple of organizers I know, and it immediately blossomed. The timing is perfect. You know, take a look in your state. If you're listening, take a look around. Maybe, might be for the first time. Spend an hour, make a concerted effort to find the homeschooling groups that exist within your state. I bet you will be pleasantly surprised at how many are out there. I was stoked when I started talking to some of the leaders of the co-ops that I worked with in other projects, and I knew they were homeschooling. And when this thing seemed like it was starting to come together and the need for it, I started doing a little more research, asking a little more questions, and I was again blown away. When I started homeschooling before, I was pretty amazed at what they were able to put together and develop, and were continuing to develop. But more recently, you know, add to it some of the, you know, newer technologies. It is an amazing opportunity to be involved in the home education of your child. It's truly an exciting time. So I'm hoping to fan the flames. Get those parents that are fence riders right now. I feel maybe they're a little inadequate, and we're going to educate and empower them. And you can do this, and your child will be the beneficiary. And ultimately, your community, too. We've seen what happens when you let a child run wild, when the schools and the TVs and the streets raise them. You know, we still see them out in the streets, don't we? Antifa and BLM are political movements. They're being funded and in part. There's a very much an anarchical component to this, which makes it unpredictable. They never know when they may create a monster here that they can't control. But we're seeing a lot of outside funding of these guys. Leader of BLM, again, recently is in the news. And she's stepping down. She says she doesn't want, the movement and stuff to be tarnished or influenced by her personal ambitions and so on and so forth. She's purchased some million-dollar homes out there. So they started to question that. Of course, all the BLMers in the streets that were made all these promises, that went out and did, committed the actual crimes, they're not getting much. A few snarky signs once in a while in a bus ride isn't cutting it for them anymore. So, yeah, she's getting out of the BLM leadership business, and she's going to start writing books and movie deals. And she's going to ring this for everything she can get. It was never about the movement. She was a puppet. A useful idiot, if you will. Real easy to take advantage. And they did. So now they've jump-started this Marxist movement. And that's what it is, because both of the leaders, I believe, her and the other one, her name escapes me now, are both self-admitted lesbian Marxist, is how they define themselves. I mean, I really care less about their sexual lives. I don't subscribe to the lifestyle at all, but none of my business. I'm kind of libertarian there, I guess. And, you know, as long as you're not forcing me to do it and forcing it into public policy, do what you want in your bedroom. Who cares? But you are a Marxist. And your organization, your movement, based in Marxism, that is inconsistent with the Constitution. You shall have no form of government but a Republican form of government. And what that is proposing, that is not a republic. Where I come from, and my understanding, is that makes them an enemy of the state. Okay, not something to be inculcated into our kids through your school committees. Last June, they were pushing that stuff. Literally, the 10 demands of BLM, they were just taken, reworded, put into the name of some other social justice group, all right? And then they touted and they threw out a couple of names of students from local schools. Three of them were 14 and one was 15. They love to do that. You can't be against our resolution or you hate children. Deviantly brilliant, isn't it? Yep. So the movement is based in Marxism, so it's a political movement. Almost every town hall across the country, if you go up there and try to engage in anything, it's even if it's not political, even if it's just very tertiarily related, they'll say, oh, no, we can't get involved in political issues. Yet this, in the name of social justice, right, there's no such thing. That's a made-up word by an organization, a movement that wants something. They made up this word that kind of facilitates that, and now trying to get us to accept it. All right, well, social justice is part of a Marxist movement for communism. All right, there's only justice, plain justice. That's it. We don't have social justice. It's invented. We don't have environmental justice. That was invented. We don't have economic justice. That was invented. All right? Financial justice. None of those are real. Not to us who live within the constitutional confines of in our republic, as we understand it and know it. In their warped little world, they can think whatever the hell they want. You know, again, I'm a little libertarian about that. Think what you want. You know, if you want to go and play house over at your friends and you want to invent this little world that has social justice and economic and environmental justice, you go right ahead. You pretend all you want. Have fun. Don't put an eye out. But don't you dare come into my town saying that I have got to get on bended knee and say that I am wrong because of the pigment of my skin. Or say that I'm wrong for anything if I've done nothing wrong. That I owe you something if I've not harmed you in some way. Let's think about this a little, folks. Only one justice. We'll talk more about it after the break. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you right after. A good, bad, big time away, well, you might not sing a bit like Elvis.
Well, a good good make you shake your... As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here we go. We're down the final stretch. Got about half hour left to go, but so far so good. No runs, no drips, no errors. No one's poked their eye out. So we're on target and have another good show tonight. Sure is mighty fine to be broadcasting here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm having a hoot. I really am. I've settled into this. I'm not nervous anymore. We have some great conversations. I've had relatively minor technical meltdowns on my end. So I'm enjoying this, and I'm looking forward to amping things up a little bit. As I was out today, like I said, for me it was like a huge Patriot family reunion. I look forward to this this day every year. And today, you know, I'm just floating on a cloud. I get to network with and talk to personally a lot of people that I don't get to see face to face all the time, and setting up interviews and things like that. So be looking forward to some good interviews here in the not too distant future. All right, I'm going to give you some hints next week what I think I'm going to be able to line up for you. But I want to get some good informational nuggets that are not redundant. You know, unless I don't want to say that, because sometimes things do deserve to have the point driven home, don't they? But we'll always try to add to that the supporting information that goes along with it. We need the talking points to effectively argue our points as we're out mingling, having those water cooler discussions. You know, we can't get into a M not R2. We got to really come at it and say, this is wrong, and these are the reasons why. You may not understand the impact of that policy, but here are some considerations you might want to think about. We've got to be equipped and better ready to argue our points. And, I mean, that's incumbent upon us. So we're going to start striking at the root. We're going to talk about the things that matter. I'm going to try to pick those topics that are applicable anywhere. Or at the very least, and this is for the listeners out there, I have been a resident of Massachusetts my entire life. There are things that I absolutely love about this state and this area, and there are things that have developed that I deplore. But one thing is for sure, we are a little a glimpse. It's like going ahead in time. All right. What is happening here right now, policy-wise, when it comes to land use, when it comes to energy use, when it comes to water use, when it comes to traffic in roadways, we are the little petri dish, the little testing grounds for these little socialist schemes. They start here. They nourish and incubate that nonsense here. I don't know if anyone's ever listened to Dr. Shiva. A very controversial fellow who ran for Senate. He ran a couple of times, actually. But he's a smart dude. Smart dude. You know, he's a graduate at MIT. And you know, he will tell you that Massachusetts is the epicenter of the deep state, especially biotech. Boston, Cambridge area. Some of the worst of the worst out there have their dirty little tap roots here in Massachusetts. So when we were talking about Virginia earlier, look at how that state did a 180. Bloomberg literally purchased the legislature there. The amount of money that he put into that one state. And look at how long. It did not take long before there was a couple million people there because they were about to disarm the state of Virginia. And that's another dust up I was at personally. Yeah, that's what dirty money will do. That's when someone with that much money reaches in and purchases a legislature and almost immediately went into turmoil. We'll be right back, a short break, and then we're going to take another call from us. Red Pill Politics, see you after the break.
Last time I saw you, you had tears in your eyes. You loaned a man that kept telling you lies.
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without net and talking it up. We got Chance from West Virginia again. What you doing, brother?
Yes, hello, Dave. Thank you so much for allowing me to call back. Before I get to my point, though, you know, I heard Susan's story, and it touched me. And I'd just like to make a request to all your listeners. It only takes a single moment of your time to say a prayer for the woman. I believe in the power of prayer. Now, would you agree with that, Dave?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I'll tell you, I've had low points in my life where I thought I did not have a friend And that was the only thing with those discussions that I had with Jesus that pulled me through. And I got myself pulled up by the bootstraps and back in the saddle again. And it was all that was there for me. And I think back now to those people who don't have that connection. You know, that pastor I was telling you about, I want to share this quick story with you. I shared it today with the crowd. You know, he did our opening prayer today, you know, because of the grit that he showed. And we went out there. I was among those that went out to stand around that church. And there was a lot of the prepper types out here and 3% Oath Keeper types that went out there with regular people, too. And I still to this day really don't know what happened. But at least four of these guys, big, tough guys, you know, tougher than God even. I don't know what the pastor said to them, but they're going to church regularly. And I'm in the same chat groups and things like that. And there's a whole new level of intensity to these guys. They're more cerebral and they're more calm. There's a sense of calmness. There's still an intensity and a sense of urgency, but there's a calmness that only comes with that relationship, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sir. And, you know, we all have the responsibility to pray for our brothers and sisters. And
yes.
I know it sounds presumptuous of me to, you know, throw that out there, but we have that responsibility.
Great idea.
We have that responsibility to do that for Susan and people. For all of us. Now, to get to why I called you real quick, and I thank you once again for taking my call. You mentioned parents. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, I can't remember the age, I think it was 10, 11, or 12, I was playing baseball in my backyard, and I threw the baseball, and it broke the window of the neighboring house. And my dear mama, my dear late mama, said, "You go over there, and you tell that owner that you broke that window." And I had a newspaper and said, "You're going to go over there, tell him you broke the window by mistake, and you're going to pay for it." And that's exactly what I did. And when you mentioned parents, that brought back that memory. And
yeah.
By me, real, yeah.
A mistake is only a mistake when you let it be. Things like that. Especially with a child, it builds character. It's a priceless experience, and I'll bet you anything that neighbor probably reacted in a way that reinforced.
Yes. You know what he told me, Dave? I didn't mean to cut you off now, sir. He told me, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
And I was going to pay for it, but it just goes to show you that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
And you don't see that anymore. And this is why I miss my mama. And here I am 60 years old, and I miss my mama every day of my life, believe me. She taught me how to be a good person, in plain English, I guess. And that's the point I wanted to make. What I see nowadays, not in all cases, but in too many cases, is the children are not being taught the right lessons. And, that's all I wanted to say, Dave, and I thank you for taking my call. Remember, folks, everybody who's listening, say a prayer for Susan. It only takes a moment of your time. We all wind up in situations. We all have. That's our responsibility. And, Dave, thank you very much now, and God bless now.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, absolutely right. You know, I do that quite a bit for those that are that need healing. You know, I've been pretty blessed, and you know, I would ask the Lord to remove pain from those I care about, from those I don't even know. The power of prayer is absolutely real, and. You know, to those that are skeptics, if you're shy and bashful and don't want to say it out loud, try it in private where no one will know. Try it. try it sometime. It's my challenge to you. Talk to God like he was your friend. And if you need relief, ask him. If it is his will he provide you that relief? Right? What's the worst that can happen? I don't know. I'll tell you, I was very fortunate. Extremely fortunate. The type of relationship and upbringing that I had fostered an extraordinarily close relationship with my grandparents. Actually, both of them, they were my grandparents on my mother's side, especially, because we pretty much lived right there, abutting properties. My grandparents on my father's side were next town over, so, you know, I had such a close, chronic relationship with my grandparents that it was many of their values that got instilled in me. More so, I believe, than my own parents. My parents were 19 when I was born. I remember what was going through my head at 19. It's a big responsibility all of a sudden having a child. So, to my benefit, I didn't just go to some random sitter or whatever. I went to my grandparents. And I stayed there on weekends. It was a part of the routine. Graham stayed, literally slept over there every weekend. Went home on school nights. But the relationship was extraordinarily close, closer than most people, the benefit they had with their grandparents. I was very blessed. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. He was of average height, but built like a brick shit house. He really was like running headlong into a fire hydrant. But one of the most delicate, caring people I've ever met. He would help anybody. There was only two things in this world that scared him. One of them was snakes. He just could never get used to snakes. He hated them. The other, I found out, was infants. When my sons were born, one of the first things I did is I brought them to my grandparents. And when I went over to place my son in my grandfather's arms, he was a nervous wreck. He didn't want to hold him. I mean, he was just beside himself with joy at the baby, but he was afraid to hold that baby. Such a delicate little, precious little thing. He was, I don't think he could drop a 200-pound sack of grain, but that, 8-pound baby, he was afraid of dropping it and hurting it in any way. And for that, he was afraid to hold him, to touch him. He'd touch him. If I held him, he'd touch his head and kiss him. But when I put him in his arms, it was an amazing thing to see, an observation I've carried with me forever. The only two things that scared him, snakes and infants. There's many times, we're talking about the Second Amendment today with our big rally here, and many hunting trips with my granddad. Never once did we shoot anything. But I couldn't condense in a two-hour show all of the life lessons and things that he passed on to me as we sat on some old mossy stump in the woods. An incredible gift that I could not even try to put a price on. Okay, it's where I learned what a good husband and a good wife were. How you treat a lady. Why a man's word is gonna be gold. I learned so many things sitting in the woods hunting with my grandfather. All right? He was an expert marksman. They say he's a World War II veteran. I mean, I've seen him shoot. He's an incredible marksman. I learned to hunt very well. And I've shot many deer. He taught me well. But he and I never killed a single animal together. We were too busy talking. I guess you're supposed to be quiet in the woods. But life experiences that I wouldn't trade nothing for. And that's that little story, oddly enough, that's one that I share with those freaking progressives and those liberals that just want to just take those guns. They're just got a bloodthirst for it and see no value in guns whatsoever. Is I share that with them. And they well up. Because then you remember the progressives and these bleeding heart types. They run on emotion and fear. So I play on their emotions. And it really messes with their mind to think that two men, or actually a man and a boy, a child with a gun in the woods, out there to kill other innocent bunnies and deer. And I tell the story in the way that it really happened. And they forget all about the guns. And they see that there's actually humans behind these guns. And that's the start. You know, eat the elephant one bite at a time, I guess. They chip away at their armor. Let them see us as human. Let's play on their emotions if that's the way they work. Don't try to use logic on a progressive. You got to come at it from emotion and fear. So yeah, that's a gun story I share with my progressive gun-grabbing counterparts. But nonetheless, that's an experience I wish the youth of today could have experienced. If I could take my upbringing, the good and the bad, I didn't have a utopian life. You know, we didn't come from a place of means. But the experiences are worth more than anything that any money could buy. And I wish I could gift that to the kids of today, even one generation. Who knows what could come of it. Mark from Texas.
Good evening, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I've enjoyed the show. Andy and Chance, great call. I've been listening in and out as I've been cooking a late dinner. But, you mentioned your grandparents. And, you know, I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with my maternal grandparents as they got older. And what a blessing. Papa was 50 years as an elder. He was born in 1912. And such a sweet, godly man. You know, I think about him a lot. And anyway, that just spurred me to call. And I appreciate your, man, how blessed you were to have both of them close by.
Yeah, and, I've got an appreciation for it now that I probably didn't have as a child, but certainly now looking back, it was absolutely priceless. And, you know, like I said, I wish I could gift that to some children today that, that could really benefit from it.
Yeah, my paternal grandparents, dad's mom, basically abandoned him. You know, get divorced in Augusta, Georgia in the 40s. That just didn't happen. So he grew up with his grandmother. And Bessie was a wonderful woman. I met her several times, but, you know, she passed way too early. I think, you know, I only got to spend a little bit of time with her. But what I wanted to call about, are you familiar with E. Michael Jones? He's the prominent Catholic historian, and I've listened to him a couple times recently, and he mentioned something that I just wanted to toss out. I know we're kind of at the end of the show, but he mentioned that, you know, Christians today, especially the Zionist Christians, the evangelical Christians, you know, he mentioned that in Genesis, it's preposterous that Satan, the serpent, had sex with Eve. That is absolutely preposterous. That did not happen. And, you know, I always knew it just bugged me. But I was finally glad to hear somebody say it. And also the Nephilim, you know, in Genesis 6, talks about they came down, the bad angels or whatever, and had sex with the women. And that didn't happen. Angels don't have a physical form. And I always knew something was wrong about that, but this is something that's been going around in these evangelical churches. And, you know, it's preposterous. The sons of God are men that are godly. It doesn't have anything to do with the angels and giants. Anyway, I just want to throw that out, Dave. It's been bothering me, and I just wondered if you had any opinion on that.
You know, in some of these areas, I think, you know, and it happens in politics, too, you know, it's often referred to as, you know, going off in the weeds on something. We start to lose focus. I mean, is that in the area of focus that intuitively the Bible collectively focuses you to? And I say it doesn't. And you know, I'm going to say I don't have an opinion on this because you know I really would have to research that in its totality. There's uncanonized writings that come into play here too that you'd have to research, but you know, am I getting off topic? I mean, is that the?
I just need
to understand the scriptures, all of them, but some of these movements that get so hyper fixated on that, you know, into that comes some I think embellishments and assumptions that haven't quite been supported yet. So I'm going to have to claim ignorance. I'm going to be honest with you and say I don't have a solid opinion other than, you know, we got to try not to be over fixated on any one aspect because we are supposed to take those writings as a whole. And that's why we got to know that it's real and this isn't something that could have been fabricated, is that the stories of the Bible are so intricately woven that you're almost forced to take them all. When you research the Bible, at least with me, I find myself bouncing back and forth from one scripture to the other. I don't know.
I hear you. I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't want to get in the weeds. But anyway, thanks for your service in the Constitution Party. And, you know, the second paragraph
of the Declaration of Independence talks about unalienable rights. And if we have a tyrannical government like we do today, it is our duty to abolish that government.
Right.
And, yes. You know, that's. Would you agree we have a tyrannical government today?
Well, we absolutely do. There are a few, if any, what I would call statesmen. All right, Ron Paul was probably as close as we come to that in recent memory.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I saw him in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And about whenever he was running, I can't remember, it was, when was it, 2008 or, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but
he ran.
Yeah, that was a real.
12.
That was a real, we the people from the ground up movement.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone can see how they treated that gentleman.
I met with a woman today that I saw in 2008 at a Ron Paul event. The first time I've seen her person to person in quite a few years. And we were talking about a rally in New Hampshire that we went to up there during the primaries, where you could stand in a room and see a 16-year-old kid standing next to an 80-year-old farmer, standing next to a 25-year-old mechanic. It was absolutely incredible, the energy and that guy got with a message of liberty. Resonated with everybody.
And this tyrannical government shut him out of the debate. They just totally discounted him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they do. Anytime there's a real movement by the people that is, just like you said, yes, you're exactly right. There'd be a 16-year-old and an 80-year-old, and, you know, there'd be whites and there'd be blacks. And,
yeah.
It was truly a popular movement, and you know, it's just I don't know what's going to happen, but I do think we need to abolish this government, and however we need to do it, and let the chips fall where they may, because I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency I think everyone's feeling. Well, I agree with you, and the first step in that, government only exists if we believe it to. It's a figment of our imagination. So I opened up the show with this, is that there is an element of civil disobedience, tyranny. All right, the moment we refuse to comply, all right, the tyranny becomes a lot less scary. All right, we got to start by saying, no, we don't consent. That will send a message, too. And it'll also, you'll be that one person that stands. There's 1,000 people thinking the same thing. Everyone afraid to stand up. Someone's got to do it. And that's up to the yous and the me's out there.
Hey, God bless.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call. We're wrapping things up here. Thank you for the call, Mark from Texas. This has been Red Pill Politics. If you want to stay in touch, redpillpoliticsshow@gmail.com. That's how you do it. Get on the mailing list. On what's left of Facebook, I'm Red Pill Rebel. Look me up there and share some snarky little goodies with you there, too. Thank you very much. See you next week. It's been Red Pill Politics. You've been listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.